Chinese leader Xi Jinping's first presidential visit to Pakistan has been cancelled. The Chinese president was due to visit later this month, but Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif announced in a tweet today that President Xi's trip was postponed because of growing anti-government protests in Pakistan. Demonstrators are demanding Sharif's resignation, and the Prime Minister in turn delivered a pointed message to those protesters by including the hashtag anti-Pakistan in his tweet. The BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones knows Pakistan well and is here to guide us through just how unstable the country is right now. He joins us from London. Owen, welcome.
Hello there.
So first of all, tell us, political turmoil in Pakistan is not a new story, but what is different about this time around?
Oh, it was just a particularly crazy week where, you know, there were these two politicians, well, one politician, one cleric, trying to get influence in the centre of government in Pakistan without really the popular base to deliver the power they wanted. And, you know, mounting these violent attacks in the middle of Islamabad, trying to destabilise the government, you know, which it just didn't seem likely that this would ever have the power to make the government fall unless the army was willing to let the government go. So, you know, these protesters in the streets were basically a front for the army, and they were out there trying to destabilise things and to weaken the government. But it seems that the army's desire was to weaken rather than overthrow the government, and that's where we are now.
OK, so remind us who the players are. Start with Prime Minister Sharif, because it seems as if these protests are going on, that his hold on government is fairly weak to begin with.
So Nawaz Sharif is a two-time prime minister. He's in his third term now, and he is a man who was thrown out of power by the army last time round. So there is a tension between him and the army. He won the elections easily last year, and there can be no doubt he won. It was a simple majority in parliament. It was that big a victory, which doesn't normally happen in Pakistan. And so there are people who are trying to get rid of him. Who are they? First of all, Imran Khan, cricketer turned politician, and a man who says the election was rigged. I mean, some seats probably were rigged, but not enough to affect the overall result. And he was insisting that he wanted fresh elections and a prime minister to step down. The third person involved in this, Tahrir Qadri, a cleric from Canada, of Pakistani origin, who was insisting that his supporters wanted more Islamic government, more reasonable government in the centre. He's got some big business support, apparently some support in the military. And so these two people came onto the streets with thousands of protesters trying to force the government to stand down.
In fact, Imran Khan told your colleague Andrew North that the government's response to these protests, firing tear gas, rubber bullets at them, amounts to state-sponsored terrorism. Let's listen to that.
I will go all the way because it's the future of democracy at stake. If we accept these rigged elections, we are just like any third world country which will never go forward.
What's your reaction to that, Owen?
Well, you know, the government was in a situation where it was trying to, it has an overwhelming mandate, and it was trying to hold on to power and not to, you know, be toppled. And so they used the police. Now, the army at one point said, don't use the police, don't use force, resolve this peacefully, please. So the government then went along with that. And the next thing was the TV station was overrun and half the cameras were nicked and the whole thing was beaten up. So, I mean, the government were in a difficult place here. And obviously, in these situations, no one wants people to get hurt. But, you know, there was an attempt to topple the government and the government wanted to resist it. And that's bound to get tricky.
Now, we cannot have a conversation about Pakistan without talking about the military and the intelligence services. What are their roles in all of this?
Well, we don't know. I mean, so it's all speculative to that extent. But most people believe that the army were encouraging Imran Khan and the cleric to use their people to destabilize the government. The basic issue that's at stake here is General Musharraf. So General Musharraf, former military dictator, went back against everyone's advice, went back to try and contest the elections, had no support at all. And Nawaz Sharif has managed to get him arrested and he's under house arrest. So now the question is, what happens to Musharraf? The army see this as affecting their prestige, something they simply cannot accept, that he goes to jail. I would say, from Nawaz Sharif's point of view, who, let's face it, was put in a medieval fort by Musharraf when he was kicked out of power, I would think it's probably his top priority in government, certainly on his top few priorities, to get this man in jail. It's personal. And so that is what this is about. And the army can't accept it. Nawaz Sharif doesn't want to back down. Every time the judges at the army's behest try and sort of find some solution which would let Musharraf go out of the country, it always gets blocked by the government. This is the problem. And so we still haven't got a resolution to it. He's still under house arrest, and it looks like Sharif survived this bout.
So let's expand our focus a little bit to regional, because as you and everyone well knows, India has a new leader, Narendra Modi. What do you think he is thinking as he watches what's happening across the border in Pakistan?
Well, I think he's given up on Pakistan in this respect. There was a sort of an initial bit of flirtation, if you like, between him and Mr. Sharif. But the truth is that what India needs to normalize its relations with Pakistan is action against the people who organized the Mumbai bombings. Those people are moving around freely in Pakistan. They do TV interviews. There's even talk of them getting slight money from the government, from the Punjab Assembly. So, you know, they are not being clamped down on at all. And India can't accept that. So it's just never going to happen, this improved relationship with India. The army doesn't want it to happen particularly either. So that's another factor against it. And I mean, Nawaz Sharif would definitely like to do that. But so the previous president, Zardari, wanted to do it too. And they just can't get it through. And so, you know, that's there. And the India problem remains. And Mr. Modi looks at it all and just thinks, well, I can't get what I want, so, you know, I'll put it on ice.
And what about Great Britain and the United States? Because Pakistan has always been a linchpin in Asian, particularly Central Asian, geopolitical policy. I mean, there's the question of Pakistan's involvement in helping either encourage or control, depending on your perspective, Al-Qaeda at its borders, of the relationship between, again, Great Britain and the U.S. and India, Afghanistan, everything. If there's so much turmoil in this central country in Pakistan, what effect does that have in terms of how the U.S. or Great Britain might respond now?
Well, the U.S. and the U.K. have you know, a lot of interests in Pakistan. And, of course, the main one is that it isn't used as the base of another attack on the U.K. or the U.S. Both countries have had those attacks. So that is the main thing. Now, then that leads to lots of other things. British are doing a very substantial, in British terms, given the money they've got, education reform program in Punjab. The Americans have been pumping in money for years on an absolutely enormous scale. At some stages, I think Pakistan was actually getting more than Israel did. I mean, that's how much US money was going in. And at the end of it, of course, there are very high levels of anti-Americanism in Pakistan, despite that. So, you know, when the Americans withdraw from Afghanistan, that's going to mean that their relationship with Pakistan is less central. And there will be no doubt less money going into Pakistan. But I think you have to remember this. The key thing that Pakistan did was test a nuclear device. And it just means that no one can let them disintegrate. No one can let them go bankrupt. They've got this card. They use it remorselessly. And whenever the IMF or the World Bank or the Americans or the EU are looking at Pakistan, in the back of their mind is, we've got to keep the show on the road because they've got a nuclear bomb. We don't want it to get in the hands of jihadis. So we've got to help them.
The BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones speaking to us from London. Owen, thank you as always.
Thank you very much.